Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Jeremy. So Jeremy, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Awesome. So I live in Bell Harbor, Florida right now. Moved here a couple of years ago. And I am, up until yesterday, I was a co-founder and CEO of Swag.com. I started in 2016. I actually gave up the role yesterday morning because I'm starting a new division under the parent company that bought us called Swag Space. So we could get into that. But I'll give a little quick background on Swag.com first. Started the business 2016. The idea for Swag.com is to make it really easy for companies like Facebook and Google and Amazon to buy quality swag. And not just buy swag to be sent to their office, but also to be held in inventory and distributed to multiple different addresses and kitted boxes and warehousing and making it really, really streamlined. Over the last 8 years, we've grown to be, I believe, the fastest growing company in the industry, doing nearly $40 million of revenue per year. And in 2021, we were acquired by a much larger company called Custom Inc. To be kind of like their business arm. So since we got acquired in November of 2021, I've been running it as the CEO, and I've come up with some other ideas while I've been there. And Swag Space is the new startup that I'm incubating underneath Custom Inc.
Awesome. So can you just tell me, since, you know, like, I guess the co-founder role like never goes away. So CEO maybe changed, but you're still a co-founder of the company. So like, how did you get the idea for it?
Co-founder for Swag.com. Yeah. I've always been co-founder of Swag.com for sure. How do I get the idea with it? It's a good question. So I used to be in the promotional product industry in first job out of college. It was like one of these random industries. I stumbled across it. And I remember at the trade shows I used to go at, I was by far the youngest person at the trade show. I was 21, 22 years old at the time. And at the time, the industry was very fragmented and somewhat broken. Like, all the sales were happening through presentation decks and phone calls to close sales. And it was a very manual process. And then I did various different startups, after I left that industry. But I was always super fascinated in the swag industry. And when I was in 2016, I was looking at the industry and I'm realizing the industry is only getting bigger. Right? It's $25, $26 billion a year industry, but the buyer has changed. And it was like an aha moment. Industry is getting bigger. Buyer changed from when I was back in the day and it was a 40-year-old office manager and now it's a 25-year-old. And because the buyer is changing, very different needs of what customers want. So I really started to analyze who the current buyer is and what the experience should be for them. And as like any entrepreneur, you just have to get started. You know, we had a lot of ideas in the early days and a lot of those ideas were proven to be right. And some of the ideas were proven to be wrong. And I think it's just a lot of putting yourselves out there and pivoting and figuring it out. I guess like one like high level one, when we started, I initially thought marketing teams was the right audience for us. Because marketing teams, you could envision huge marketing teams get to spend for buying swag to give out to their best customers and for trade shows and all these different things. But speaking to all the marketing managers, everybody goes after the marketing team. So it's like, how do we differentiate ourselves as like a small startup? I noticed in this first, I guess, 500 or so calls my first year is that the office manager is really the sweet spot. That's who we should be going after. The office manager, much smaller budget, which is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. But they're the gateway. They're the Trojan horse into the company. If the office manager buys, they're giving it to their 100-person team. That means the marketing team, the sales team, they all know about swag.com. So it becomes like a really much easier way to get in the company. And we've seen that's how it grew. We were all in office managers. And then from there, we've been expanding. And now we're doing the marketing teams and the sales teams and the London office and the New York office. But it had to start from someplace. And I think some key insights, if we didn't realize that right away by not having those early conversations, who knows what swag.com would have become.
100%. And that's awesome. Like, I think really to be successful, you have to just think outside the box, which is what you guys did. So I guess like as of now, right, you mentioned that your role just changed. So what are you doing now? Like, and what are you working on as we approach 2024?
Yeah. So Swag Space, this is an idea I've had for 3 years or so. And even before we got acquired by Custom Inc., but now is the perfect time for this. It's a very big idea. So basically, the industry is broken down like this. There's it's about a $25 billion industry. $17 billion of the industry is made up of 22,000 smaller mom and pop shops mainly. I mean, some of them are a little bit bigger, but it's kind of broad strokes. The average promo distributor does between $500,000 and $1 million per year. Right? That's what the industry is made up of. Very small teams, you know, one person team to five person team. They have no technology whatsoever. They have no infrastructure. They have no warehousing components. There's a lot of the services that their customers are asking for today. Like, hey, can you build me a company store? Can you warehouse my swag? Can you do custom boxes? They just can't do because it's very, very complicated. It takes a lot of resources and tech and all this stuff. I know this for a fact because in 2016, when we started swag.com, we had no e-commerce site. We built it from scratch. So my first year of the business, we did 350,000 of sales the first year. Very manual, very much like today's distributor does, like knocking on doors, traveling salesman style. When we built our first version of our e-commerce site and we launched it in year two, we did 1.1 million. So between year one, year two, we tripled our sales with the same two-person team, me and my co-founder, Josh. So we realized technology could really streamline the thing. And now this is in 2017. We're what, 2023 right now. This site is infinitely better, right? Millions of dollars have been poured into this site, making it way, way more streamlined. So I had this idea. What if we take all of the technology that we built for swag.com and white labeled it and gave it away to the distributor network? So now Jenny Promo, who does $1 million of sales, she has the ultimate e-commerce experience in the market with her logo, her brand colors, doesn't say swag.com, doesn't say swag space, doesn't say custom ink. It's her site. And when her customers go through the checkout flow, it's not just the front-facing site that allows them to streamline their whole operations. It's also the operations. Once they order, it hits the custom ink backend. Custom ink does $650 million a year in sales. We handle all the production. We help take the low-res logo, convert to a high-res logo. We handle all the logistics and warehousing operations. They have a multiple million-dollar site instantaneously. So how I think of it, it's like software as a service, but also infrastructure as a service. We're not only the front-facing site, we're also the back-end. If we can do this effectively, which I believe we can, we're gonna be saving people 80 to 90% of their current workload. We're going to be able to make them focus their time more on relationship building and sales building versus the operational headaches of fulfilling an order. So we think there's just a real great opportunity. And it's not just for promo distributors. It's for everything that's promo adjacent. Screen print networks, party planners, branding agencies, marketing agencies, designers, college kids that want to start a business. Before SwagSpace, it was very complicated to sell swag. There's thousands of suppliers. There's thousands of things you have to know about different imprint methods and quantity and integrations with suppliers. With us, within less than 3 minutes, you could have the ultimate site in the industry with 10,000 plus curated products that we've selected and have our team of 1,000 plus people handling all of your operations once orders come in. So we really think this could unlock an insane amount of doors.
100%. So has this launched yet, or it's going to be like a pure play SaaS? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, we've launched the beta. We've been building it. We're still like, I would say, 65% there, even after we're launching January 15th officially. We're not going to be the full vision, but it will have enough features that will make it useful. But we've done over $100,000 of sales already, even in the beta, just testing it out with very small, select handful of people using the platform. We have a person who's using our beta, who signed on 2 months ago, who never sold swag in his life, never sold it. He just wanted to see, can he sell swag? And the site at that point, when he joined, was about 40% of the vision. He's done about $60,000, just one person in 2 months. So we know it works. And that's at like basic core features are not built yet. So we're just making it really, really easy. But yeah, January 15th, we're going to launch it. And we're trying to figure out exactly the right audience. Like, we know promo distributors could be the right audience. But as you can imagine, there's people who have been doing it one way their whole life. To get them to do it a different way is not easy. Like, even if we're smacking them in the face and we say, you're going to save time, you're going to make way more money, you're going to be able to offer services that you otherwise could not offer, they're going to say, who knows, maybe they'll say, amazing, let's do it. Or they'll say, you know what, I don't really want to change the way I'm doing things. And that's just, who knows. Promo adjacent, for example, party planners, event planners, they already sell swag, but they don't make any money off it. This is all incremental to them. There's no pushback because this is just an additive thing that they now could offer. If someone's doing a bar and bat mitzvah, now sell swag at that event. Instead of sending them to somebody else to do it, let them handle it and make a large commission on every sale where we handle all the work. So I think we're going to just try to learn over the next year who the right audience is and how to speak to them. And as a startup, we have some hypothesis, but who knows? We'll see where it goes.
For sure. I mean, I think for you guys, I mean, one thing is like you have to make the people feel the pain, right? It's like this is the pain. Like just as you said, right? Like these processes are so manual and how much time it actually takes, right? And then if they like do your, you know, use your software, they're going to save hours a day that they can focus on, I don't know, spending time with family or whatever else, right?
That's
So I think
exactly
that
right.
you're creating, like you're solving a very big problem for them.
Oh, 100%. I know it because I'm somebody who analyzes my own output. And I remember in 2016 when we were starting Swag, I was so excited to be building the solution, the tech solution that would solve it. But the problem was real. Like, I mean, I was analyzing my time and I spent about 20% of my time on selling and 80% of my time, frankly, on the bullshit. That's the truth. Like, order came in and that's where the work began. I would have to call the suppliers, wait on hold to see if the inventory is even there. Oh, the product's out of stock. I have to go back to the customer, change the. It was a nightmare. It was like unbelievable. Then I had 100 different suppliers doing different products and following up with each one and getting tracking and making sure they're all at the same time so that we could consolidate things and package up together. I'm like, what if right when the order comes in, that's it? Then the person can start focusing on selling more. They're not focused on the operation, the logistics, the waiting. We are the de facto supplier. We become the de facto supplier, operation arm, warehousing, design team, everything for these guys.
For sure. So obviously that you're going to launch like full blown next year, but what is your goal for next year? Like how many people like are you guys planning on signing up or revenue goals for this side of the business?
It's a good question. I think we're going to learn a lot of that. I don't want to grow too fast. Our whole Swag Space platform is a application process. So you have to actually apply to be a member. So if there's 22,000 distributors, if I could get 100, I'll be happy next year because I don't want to grow too. This is such a big opportunity that if this works, it could fundamentally change the entire industry. I mean, think of it this way. It's 22,000 promo distributors. If you get 1,000 of them, right? And they're averaging doing 500,000 to a million a year. That's $1 billion of revenue. We're getting 1,000 of them. So if we get 100, it could be a $50 million a year business at full scale. Now, we're not saying they have to use our technology over what they're currently doing. What we want to do is saying, use our technology. If it works for you and you see that there's benefit, they're going to want to move more of their orders to the site because it's going to be saving them so much time and effort. That's the whole point. I'm not trying to say change what you're doing to us. All I want them to do is try us. Because once they do their first order, they're hooked. They're going to be hooked because they're going to realize they just saved literally 8, 10, 20 hours of their life just like that. So, but yeah, I want to grow it in a real way, understand who the customer is, and make sure we're listening to the customers. It's very hard to listen to customers if you're growing too fast and if you don't have the right team in place to handle it. I want to learn from the customers. Are we building the right things? Are we building the wrong things? Are the things that maybe we thought were important but are not important? So the first year of a startup is really about learning and living.
How many people do you have on your team for this side of the business?
So it's interesting where a lot of it is what we call shared services. You know, swag.com is a 100-person company, but certain people on swag.com are moving over to Swag Space. So one of our head of sales is joining us at Swag Space. One of our top account managers is joining us as a leader in account management. Our, you know, operations moving over. Like there's certain bit pieces to make it that they're going to be exclusively Swag Space versus what they've been historically at swag.com. But a lot of the things like the operations is completely shared service. If an order happens through swag.com or Custom Ink, or now any of the 100 white labeled sites of Swag Space, it hits the same unified backend. That's the point. Like we're going to be able to share it because we're handling all the logistics for Custom Ink, 650 million, swag.com, 40 million. Like it all basically funnels through the same backend system.
For sure. So obviously now in 2023, people are looking for the best use cases for things like AI. So do you think that AI has a role in Swag Space? And if so, like what is that role?
Yeah, totally. There's definitely certain things that we're building. I don't think of it as necessarily AI for outside the platform itself, like analyzing data outside the platform. That's not, but making this the process more streamlined. Like imagine this for a second. Facebook's going to Jenny Promo's site, right? And they're browsing the site, but then there's a pop-up that says, you know, check out our AI helper. And it asks them several questions like, when's your upcoming event? Who's the audience? What's your price budget? All this stuff. They press a button and it automatically curates the site based on the products, based on the inputs. And then it says to them, what company do you work for? Just type in the URL and it automatically pulls their logo and it modifies 20 different varying designs on those simple products. So now people, by just filling out three questions and typing in the name of their company, could have a really curated selection that they know anything that they buy will be in hand date based on their event and will be really geared towards them, fully designed. Whether they want to use that design, they want to override it. It literally gives them like a stepping stone and step in the right direction. So we're trying to think of that, those type of things of like, How do we help people just streamline every aspect of what they're doing? And if the goal of Swag Space is to become the universal swag platform, we really have to figure out how to streamline everything.
For sure. So for your go-to-market strategy, are you planning on like running ads or going to conferences? Like, how are you going to get in front of all these people?
Yeah, so this is a lot to be discovered. Honestly, we're not exactly sure. We know the promo industry is very insular, so it's not that hard to get in front of or get on the people's radar. Like, I'm already getting on people's radar. We haven't even launched yet. Just because people talk. It's like one of these like small networks. But we are going to be we're doing in-person demos at the big show in Vegas, January 15th. So people will like, you know, come up to a booth. I mean, to our room, we have a hotel suite and we'll give like a demo. We're going to be in some press next week or the following week announcing what we're doing. So even just having it in one of the main industry presses, everybody knows about you because it's just a small insular world. After that, getting the promo adjacent, party planners, event planners, we're probably going to be going to big trade shows and getting a booth set up or maybe reaching out to local communities. But this is stuff we still have to figure out. It's very get back into the mindset of grassroots. We're not doing paid ads at all because frankly, people don't even know what to look for in this way, right? They don't know that we exist. They don't know that something like this can exist. So it's about us trying to figure out where the communities are and do more education-based marketing.
For sure. Yeah. So it's more of like just going live at this show and then kind of seeing, you know, more organically in your network and leveraging that as opposed to running paid ads on Facebook or something.
Yeah. Especially this early year, because we're not trying to scale to thousands. We're trying to get to 100. That's like, if we could get to 100 people and they're actively using our site or they're not using our site and we figure out why they're not using it, we make it better. I mean, it still could be a $10 million a year business in our first year of business. So it's
for sure.
This thing has the ability to really, really scale, but it's only going to scale if we have the right platform. We're going after the right audience. We're speaking to them in the right way. And we have the right team that can handle that volume.
No, yeah. And that's definitely exciting. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you launched your first startup?
Well, first startup takes me a while back. I've been an entrepreneur since 22. I think to me, there's like a famous quote. It says like, fear kills more dreams than failure ever could. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get in their own way. They overthink things, whether they don't know if they have the right idea or they don't know if they're the right person to do it. Or what I've learned is that the idea that you have initially will not be the idea at the end. And just being in your own head will prevent you from doing things that could change your life. You know, even simple things like one of my early startups that ultimately didn't work out, I was building a social networking app when I was about 25 or 26 years old. And I had like a classic entrepreneur, I don't say dilemma, but you know, way of doing things where you kind of overanalyze every single thing and you kind of prevent actually launching because everything has to be perfect and it's not perfect, you don't launch. And I have a lot of friends, entrepreneurs, they never launch because they're always trying to make it perfect and there is no sweet spot of perfection. But I spent a full year building the social networking app just to launch it and realize all the things that I lost sleep over, no one gave a shit about. And all the things I didn't even think about, those were the things that they wanted. And what if I could have just launched a much more basic version of things right away? I would have learned the right thing to build and ultimately the company could have succeeded because I'd have a lot more time and a lot more runway to figure out the right product. So to me, it's just once you have an idea, once you're excited about the industry, more than even the idea, the industry, start. Just start and learn and pivot and learn and pivot and be okay when things don't work out because they won't.
No, 100%. And that's kind of, you know, earlier like what you were saying about this go-to-market strategy, right? Like you're doing it the proper way. Like you're not rushing or worrying about it. You're more just focused on, okay, like let's roll it out slowly, get the feedback and make sure that to your point that whatever you're building or features you're adding are features that your customers actually care about.
That's the biggest time suck and money suck is building things your people don't want. So the job of an entrepreneur is trying to make sure you're building and spending money only on things that people actually need.
100%. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or social media? Just best ways to get in contact with you.
Sure. My email address is jeremy@swag.com. And the company I co-founded is swag.com, SWAG.com. Very simple. And the new business that we're launching under Custom Inc. is called Swag Space. And the URL is swag.space.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time. And we're rooting for you with Swag Space in 2024.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thanks. All right. Bye.